listening to Fox Sports Radio.
So, RJ, we were talking about Sunday Night Football last segment here, in which the Cleveland Browns fall to the L.A. Rams 20-13. What is the Vegas perspective on what we saw?
Yeah, so a lot of interesting discussions in that game. And we got off, we talked so much about Lamar, and that's interesting because I got to tell you, I could be plain wrong about it. I'm skeptical that there's only so many counters you can make as a coach. I think Harbaugh's doing that now. Eventually, they're going to see the truth. And now, when they know what you're going to do, can you do it? That's the NFL at quarterback. There's a lot of quarterbacks that's come through the league. If you didn't know what he was going to do, they're successful. Once you know, it stops the success. With Lamar, though, it's going to be fascinating because he's obviously so much more than a typical running quarterback. So as a fan, I'm so interested. And we're obviously hearing very disparate takes all the way from the Ringer saying one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL currently. I think most people would disagree with that one. Speaking of quarterbacks, young, Baker Mayfield, Freddie Kitchens. Now, there's some sense that you got to blame one, if not the other. I think it was a little blame to go around. So would you agree, Fez, in general, though I think this one game isn't a sign of how bad the Browns are, but I think if you look at the season, disappointment so far, getting blown out by Tennessee, and hey, when you cover, you by definition exceeded. So they did cover against the Jets. I think what we're seeing with the Jets is Belichick could have ran that game up. He decided not to. I see nothing with the Jets I'm excited about, which means the Browns don't have a good win. Where do you see the problem at?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of Baker Mayfield does not trust his protection, so he has happy feet. So he's looking around, he's getting sacked, and he's leaving the pocket too soon.
Now, did he do that last year?
Not as much, now from what I saw.
He looked completely confident as a gunslinger, right, Brad?
Yeah, he did. And keep in mind, the biggest weakness on Cleveland coming into this season was the offensive line. Pro Football Focus ranked it as a bottom five offensive line. And it wasn't the case last year. They lost one of their best offensive guards in the Olivia Vernon trade.
Okay, and that's fascinating because what Colin Cowherd right here on FSR talks about is the Browns seem to be about flash. Not that they don't want to win, but some of these decisions are like, because back in the old days, it was the kids that always said, oh, they got two great wide receivers. And then the dad says, but son, if you don't block, quarterback can't throw from his back, you know, whatever saying they would have had. And I always gravitated as a better towards teams without the football sexiness, because that gets people excited about betting them. They get expensive.
Yep.
And the teams that are grinding them out, you know, Wisconsin, we'll be getting those teams tend to overperform against the spread. Would you agree?
Absolutely, they do. The Stanfords, the Wisconsins of the world, great against the spread.
If I was dropped down 20 years from today on the planet Earth, I had no idea of any of the changes, and reporters rushed up to me and said, who's your pick to win the Super Bowl? I don't know. Maybe this is what I dream of. Is if you told me, all right, give me how many national commercials the team did this year, meaning all the players in aggregate on that team, and I would want to take away a couple of the top ones. You know, I guess in theory, the more you win, the more commercials you're going to do. But I guess relative to winning, the Browns did a lot of commercials in the offseason. Now, I think sometimes you can it's too easy to point and say, nah, you shouldn't do that. But I do see with the Browns, and Fez, you can tell me if you agree, flash over substance. They want substance, but they value flash more than most teams.
Absolutely. And to pursue into your commercials, I don't think I've seen a guy have more commercials this past week than Baker Mayfield. He's on every commercial.
And on one hand, when Colin was making a point of that, I got to be honest, my gut was, hey, how much time does it take? You know, when I was on Ballers, it was two scenes, 2 minutes. It took like 14 hours to shoot two scenes. Not because I was passing out my lines on a couple of times, but it was just, that's the way it is. Jonas, do you have any idea how long it takes to shoot a national commercial? I mean, is it like 3 days? For, I mean, that's my sense.
How the hell should I know?
You're Hollywood Jonas.
I know, but I'm more of a 99-cent store guy, in and out for the cheap. I don't do these big productions like you guys do. You're a celebrity. I have no idea how that stuff works.
Yeah. I hear you. I agree. I mean, oh, wait. No, but let's just say this. The day count isn't the issue. It's not I can't prepare because I got this commercial.
Yeah.
I think it's a matter of what's important in your mind. And to me, the watch is the OBJ. Mm-hmm. The coach can say no to that.
Yep.
Instead, they're thinking, oh, I'm insecure, because who wouldn't be the first? Hey, I was very insecure a year ago. I wouldn't say very, but I was uncertain the first time to do this show, right? I mean, when it's Dan Patrick, Colin Cowherd, Doug Gottlieb, then you, and you've never really hosted a show before, but you've done a lot of guesting, it was scary. Month or two in, I'm like, all right, I'm leaning on Jonas. We're getting this thing. And Brad and Fez, you've been killing it from the start. Not every time, Fez, with you especially, but for the most part. But I think it makes sense that Freddie Kitchens might be a little insecure, so he wants to let the players do their own thing, so at least they like him. But does it help? It might help Freddie keep his job, but does it help him on the field?
Yeah, and Freddie is, I don't know if you saw the post-game interview, but they asked him about, he had a couple questionable calls, including a draw on 3rd and 8, and he goes, oh, wrong call. And then at the end of the game, he's like, wrong call. We shouldn't have thrown it 4 times. Like, he was just being facetious. I don't know what he was being, but he's already combative
maybe
with the media.
Maybe a mental breakdown.
I tell you what, the players said, you know, regardless of the play calling, we got to go out there and execute. Almost like they're saying
That's the thing about players. If they sense weakness, I don't care what. I don't care what you've, how many times you let them bring the burrito on that part of the plane and stink it up because it's OBJ or whatever, they're going to turn on you because they sense, what's he going to do?
Yep.
I mean, there's a real law of the jungle, I think, with alpha males, and they'll take advantage of weakness. I don't think I know they don't respect it. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Last thing on this game, Fez, McVay. I felt like as the boy genius tags a little much, but there's something I see on the road numbers that you brought to my attention. The Rams are 16-3 straight up on the road under McVay. 16-3.
That's incredible.
It really is. I mean, remember, Aaron Rodgers in his last 5 or 6 years, and I don't have the exact number, is below 500 on games he started on the road. Now, that's a particularly poor road team and quarterback in this case. Lambeau's a big advantage and all that. But 16-3, here's my theory, and I want to get yours, Fez. This is about him being meticulous. This is about what messes you up on the road is detail. Oh, the food didn't arrive. Now what? That kind of stuff is the distraction, and it seems like McVay's the type. And Belichick, too, great on the road, where the level of detail matters the most.
Absolutely. And let's contrast him to, like, Tomlin, a guy that you always question, is his team going to be up as a favorite when they were on the road?
Yeah. And again, though, it's funny because you said the word, are they going to be up? That tends to imply motivation. I think it may be a matter of Tomlin's a more emotional, more gut instinct guy. All the little details maybe struggles with more on the road, so the distraction hurts the team. It seems like they're not up, but maybe it's just the reality of being on the road unless you have one of these coaches like McVay.
That's a strong point.
And to me, McVay, that 16-3 number, you know what we'll do tomorrow? I'm going to compare the other coaches in the league to that 16-3 during the same period. I know no one matches it. I bet other than Belichick, there's no one close.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
RJ, Daniel Jones' debut for the New York Giants as a starting quarterback went as well as you could imagine as the Giants beat the Buccaneers 32-31, 4 touchdowns for Daniel Jones, 2 in the air, another 2 on the ground, a hot start for the rookie quarterback.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Fezzik, first I'm going to ask you how you've adjusted the upgrade-downgrade, and then Jonas, heads up, I'm going to ask you for the fans' take. Because I've got a take that is pure Vegas, it's pure game theory, so I'll let you guys handle the football stuff, and I'm going to share a little 2 minutes. I think this is super instructional. First, Fez, entering the game, and let's caveat it, you thought Daniel Jones was on the field, a downgrade by 1 point, you felt like soon enough with some experience, he'd be there and fine past Eli. You felt, though, additionally, that the team, the Giants, would get energized by this. And net-net, you thought, well, the net effect is Daniel might be even, if not a little better. So clearly, that was a nuanced point. I agreed with every word of it. In fact, I repeated it verbatim a few times. Now, on different shows, how have you changed your opinion?
My opinion has changed on who the better quarterback is right now. I have Daniel Jones a point better than Eli. I was incredibly impressed.
Okay, so what you're saying is just on the field, a two-point upgrade in one game.
Yes.
I think that's fair. I really do. Now, what was it about the play that impressed you?
Well, the fact that their running back, Barkley, went out, who's so critical to the offense, and Jones was
able— What point of the game was this?
And during the second quarter. So he's out the entire second half. The Giants are trailing by 15. They're without their arguably their best offensive player. They're dead. And yet Jones was so good in that second half without him.
And it could have been, like we said, an effort. It could have been being discouraged. Because think about it. He might be thinking, this is my first start. Barkley's out. Woe's me.
Yeah.
Nah.
A lot of building excuses.
Yeah. And you got to like that. You got to like that. Jonas, what about you?
His ability to extend plays, he plays that position differently than any quarterback has in over a decade. And I think—
What?
I think it— yeah,
so explain how he plays. I want to hear that.
He uses his legs. He extends plays. There's options now with the offense with him under center that just weren't there with Eli Manning. And so because of that, I think Tampa Bay was caught off guard, picturing the old Giants not really totally prepared for what they were going to get with Daniel Jones.
Okay, so when you say over a decade, you mean the Giants?
Yes, Giants.
Oh, I thought what you were saying was that he was doing things that
no one was
doing. Okay, good. Okay, that makes a ton of sense. And really, Jonas hit on a very sharp point. And Fez, I don't know your take on this, and I don't know if there is a right answer, so just whatever you think. Who has the advantage with a first start for a quarterback? Because, and Brad, jump in, because to me, there's two ways to look at it. One, guy's got no experience.
Yeah.
Right? So experience is a good thing. I mean, Jonas, in his 17th year on the radio, now is better than he was on his first. So on the other hand, you always hear the sophomore slump. Once they get film on you, they figure out what you can do and can't do. How do you balance it?
I think that the rookie making his first start does have the advantage.
Really?
Even with the lack of experience. I don't have the exact numbers, RJ, but I can tell you it has been profitable blindly betting rookies making their first start in the NFL. I will get that data for the next show.
Yeah. See, but then anytime the line's involved, we're not sure if it's just the public overreacting to it. So that's actually, you know, we're going to do the news here in a minute, but that's going to be a good tease because we are going to break down thumb up, thumb down, or on the new starters last week. Let me give you a quick, though. I think this is one you can put in your pocket. Yeah, I've been thinking about interesting taglines for the show, and one of them, I was talking to one of my favorite suit, I'd say, Scott Shapiro here, is the idea that life is a gamble. I mean, like every day you're deciding, do I speed through this red light? Do I eat the clam chowder that's half price, but it's a day old? And then you're thinking, well, what's the gain? What's the risk? What's the odds? Life's a gamble, and you might as well be good at it. That's pretty good.
Very good.
We take these ideas from betting sports and apply them to life, and here's one I know for sure. If you have someone who's proven to be at the bottom range of people doing that job, so Eli Manning, still probably the 40th best quarterback in the world, right? But he was at the bottom edge of, you know, maybe he was 28, maybe he was, you know, 32. You could debate it, but he was in that bottom group. Would you rather have that person, or would you rather have another person that you don't know for sure how good he is? And to me, the key is that as long as that person, the new guy, Daniel Jones in this case, has a history, is pedigreed with the qualities that can succeed. Not certainly succeed, but can succeed. If they were going to start me, I've never had an NFL start. All right? 5'10 and a half, benching, I can't say, is I can't do 225 eight times. I'll tell you that. Like Fez, talk about an upset. If you have the qualities that in characters that could succeed, I'm always wanting to roll the dice because it seems like the average result might be the same. So let's say most of the time Daniel Jones would have been about as good as Eli this year. Okay, you didn't lose anything, but you gained something where you found out how good Daniel Jones is, right?
Yep.
If he's better, all upside. And if he's worse, you put Eli back in.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's a free roll. So you got to ask yourself whenever it's new versus old, how certain are you that the new will be at least as good, if not in the range? Because if so, the downside's very limited, right?
Right.
And the next question is, if you have to make another change, how difficult is that? Right? If you can't make a change for some reason, like in soccer, right? You take someone out. Not that I'm a soccer expert, but it's harder to you better be more limited with your substitutions because you're limited in changing back from that. So it's a fascinating concept, but in general, I think there should be a bias towards action, towards change, because we as humans just don't like change. So if you're making business decisions, personal decisions, I can speak for myself. The hardest things I've ever done have been the most rewarding. Moving to Vegas when I was 27 years old with only a couple $1,000s in my pocket, very scary. It's been a good thing. Brad, I mean, you've made some safe decisions. You've made some bold decisions. They don't always work, but it feels like in hindsight, even when they don't work, that you needed to do it.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better.
And whatever the Giants were doing with the whole fan service and making sure the fans weren't mad, I think obviously there was some stagnation with Eli. And now that Daniel Jones is doing well, we'll see how he does. But I think the way to think about it is, what's the downside? In this case, I don't think Daniel Jones could have been much worse than Eli. And now that there's upside, well, that's why they did it. That's why these are the right decisions. It's going to be exciting to see what he does.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
RJ, it was a busy weekend in college football, and I know you were devastated to see what happened in Madison with Wisconsin and Michigan.
You know, I'm kind of embarrassed. On my Twitter, at RJ in Vegas, I had a hilarious tweet. You see this, Brad?
Oh, yeah.
Did you laugh?
Oh, yeah, I laughed.
And... And I'm embarrassed to say it took me like 40 minutes to write it. I wanted it to be perfect. And it was a variation of, hey, listen, maybe I'm biased because I'm an Ohio State grad. You know, I've been a critic of Jim Harbaugh, I mean, relentlessly.
He smells.
But I thought that they really showed some signs. If they just stay the course, worth every dollar.
Yeah, that fourth quarter was all right when they outscored them 14-0.
You know what's funny is how many times I got a hashtag he smells back in reply. Yeah. It's taken off. He does, let's be honest. How bad is Michigan? What is going on?
RJ, I don't think this is fixable for Michigan because, I mean, you can fix turnovers, and that's part of the issue for Michigan. But what you can't fix is getting beat up at the line of scrimmage to the tune of Wisconsin outrushed Michigan by more than 300 yards. There was nothing fluky about this. It was 35-0, and it was legit, RJ.
I heard Colin say today he hired the OC without a face-to-face meeting?
That's the story came out a couple weeks ago, The Athletic. Yeah, without a face-to-face meeting, a 20-minute phone conversation. That's the rumor going around now.
I don't know if this is true, but I've met really alpha types, the type that burn. I mean, that they burn out is that eventually they stop caring because they can't even survive hating the performance so much. I'm not saying that's happening. I'm saying he smells and that, man, Michigan is no good.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.